somehow I always get picked to go first, and I don't really like it. But I just want to clarify something really quick. When we were on the, when y'all were like FaceTiming with us last week, Rob, you don't ever wear a silly shirt. We were totally kidding. I had a lot of people ask if we were joking. They didn't know. And we were totally joking. And I don't know if everybody heard our joke about the Shapiros. We said, after we said Rob had a silly shirt on, I said, yeah, and I bet the Shapiros aren't even there yet. Now here was y'all being late. So we were joking. Rob, your shirt looks great. Sorry. So I'm really nervous, so if my voice is shaky, sorry. So we, on the last day there, we had the lady who cooks for us. Her name is Juanita, and on the last day there, so it's probably Monday night, she gave her testimony to us, and of course it's in Spanish, so we have Pastor Mark translating for us. But she's given her testimony, and as we're all listening, she's saying that she's been there, what, 15 or 17 years, something like that, and she was the first woman there to get a house out of going to La Casa. So that was like 15 or 17 years ago. And as they're building her house, you know, she's been in an abusive relationship. That's how she came to La Casa or Casa del Pastor. And it comes time for her to get her house and move in. And so what's running through her mind is, well, is this right? Is this what God really has for me? I'm leaving my family who I've known this whole time and who've led me to Christ, and I'm scared. So as she's talking and saying all this stuff about leaving her family and moving into a new home, everyone please know my heart here, because I in no way am trying to compare my life to hers or any of the women there. But as she's talking, I just immediately start crying, because I've felt the same way. I mean, we all know I'm about to get married in a few weeks, and what's run through my mind is I'm leaving my family. Daddy, stop. I'm done. Forget it. I'm not saying it. Yeah, after our last premarital, yes. I'm not saying anything sweet about you anymore. So, okay, that made me not cry so good. No, but I am, and again, please know my heart, because as excited as I am about marrying Jordan and ready to move in with him and start my own family, there's that fear that I'm leaving my family and that I've known for 25 years, and I feel really safe with my dad being home, and I can't just walk across the hall anymore and be like, Daddy, I'm scared, or I'm hurt, or I can't do that anymore. And so as she's talking, and Mom, I feel the same way with you. I'm just different with Daddy. Or just different with...
Yes.
Yes. No, y'all are horrible. Anyways. as she's speaking and she's saying all this stuff, she says that she knew immediately that God spoke to her and said, this is of me and this is what I have for you, and you're going to be okay. And as she said that, God said to me in that moment, said, see, this is what I have for you. This is the man that you're supposed to be with, and this is good, and you're going to be fine. And he's like, you're not leaving your family. I mean, heck, they live 3 miles away from each other. and she's like, he's telling me you're doing the right thing. So for me to hear that and then to be able to look at Jordan and know, and just him, he always, every time I look at him, he winks at me. And for him to wink, it just confirmed everything that I already knew. And so, and I've heard her testimony 2 years ago when I first went there, and it was an amazing experience to be there and hear that, knowing I've heard it 2 years ago, but I didn't get then what I got now. And so, and she, I don't speak a lick of Spanish, so it was even more amazing for her to hear that, and she's speaking in Spanish, and I can't understand what she's saying, but I can hear God clearer than ever. So, yeah, it was nice, and it was good for him to be there and be able to look at him and say, that's going to be my husband. So, Dad, I'm still moving out.
Hola again. I don't speak any Spanish either, so that was kind of difficult. I'm really glad that we can use D for our translator. I don't really have much to say other than I didn't get to go last year, which was really sad because I was working. But so this year I was definitely planning on going, and I just wanted to say that the reason that I'm always called to go is because my heart is in the same place as these women. Like, I've come from abusive relationships too, so I definitely feel for them in that way. And KK caught this moment that totally made me cry. When we were showing the family their house, in the pantry, or like the one little cabinet in their kitchen, we had some food for them. They're like staples, beans and rice and tortillas and things like that. I was showing it to her, and since I'm not speaking Spanish, I just like pointed at her and I said, here's your food. Like, I was like pointing at the different things, and I was smiling really big because it's just like such a great feeling. Like, it's really rewarding handing that over to them when they come from almost nothing. And KK got a picture of me, and she goes, Mandy, look, that smile is so sweet. And I was like, stop. And I just like broke down and just started crying, but it was like happy crying. And KK like immediately ran over and hugged me, and it was just really rewarding. So that's all I wanted to say, is it just is the best feeling ever. So that's it.
So, in spirit of my former Baptist self today, no, that's not the reason why I'm wearing a blazer. I'm in mourning for the Tennessee game, so I'm going to a funeral. It's a little sad. I mean, I haven't even talked to Phil yet because I don't want to start crying about it. So, huh? It's, yeah, you know, let's not talk about that anymore. It's a sad day, but there is hope in Butch Jones, so hoping GBO. So Mexico mission trip. Mexico. Okay. all right. San Vicente. Just real quick, I just want to read you a scripture that spoke to me about this trip and about the environment and the living conditions, and basically just spoke to me. It's Psalms 100, and it's a psalm of thanksgiving. Pastor Rob will probably be talking about that in a few months come, but here it is. It's, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with presence, with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Now you're asking yourself, why did I go with the Thanksgiving? When we were there, we got to go to two worship services with the, you know, the people. So this is dirt. I want all of you to take your right index finger, go to your shoe, and just swipe right here. No, everyone do it. Take your little finger, your nose picker, and get it down here. All right, pull your finger up. Let me see your fingers in the air. I ain't got no dirt. You? No. We have it good. As many of you know, I'm a police officer for Nashville, and I work in the most dangerous part of Nashville. I work in the James Casey Homes right off of Shelby and Fifth. It is terrible. It's the projects. It is disgusting. That's mansions compared to where I was at. Now, I have a jaded heart, and I can be cynical and sometimes just a poo-poo head. But we have it good. I went home on last Tuesday night to my home in Brentwood with carpet, air conditioning, and a shower that I could open my mouth in. Yeah, well, we did. Hey, it's a serious moment. But we have it good. Down there, it's just, they have nothing. And in worship services, these women who have been abused, true domestic violence victims, not the baby mama drama, not the whole entire petty stuff, they have been stabbed. They have been choked out. They have been hit in the face. They have been told, he doesn't want me anymore. Ceci, who the house that we built for, she said, my husband, when he didn't want me. I've never been not wanted. When she said that he didn't want me. But we go there in the worship services, and you look up, and it's just like our church. You think you're just in America when you're in the worship. Their hands are raised high and singing in Spanish to the Lord God. Man. And here it is. They got nothing. You walk outside, and you're in dirt. You're walking in streets where people use the restroom. You're walking in trash. You smell death. It's disgusting. I had to airborne and Zyrtec and Claritin every day. And here they are, and these women who have nothing and are living five deep in a dorm room size home at the Casa, their hands are lifted up high in praise. Humbling. This week, I went through a very traumatic experience at work, and Pastor Rob knows about that. And it's reminded me that life is very short. Life is very, very short. And I just want all of you all to tell the ones that you love them. Love them. It's okay to be a guy and tell another guy you love them. Alan back there in the back, we went to college together and we were roommates. And I'll look at that man in the face and I will tell him I love him. You know? It's just what it is. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. If you make everyone feel wanted. If you have a chance to give a kid a high five, do it. They love it. If you have a chance to sometimes get a water bottle for, homeless Jimmy on the streets or go to Mexico, do it. Be thankful to Lord God because we are blessed here in this country. You are very blessed to have what you're having, to have clothes that don't have dirt all over them, to not walk around in the same pair of underwear 5 days in a row because some of these kids, all they got is two pair. So I guess take that consideration. I'm not trying to, bring the humble speech because I know I have my issues, but we have it good, and it was a joy to go there and see that and actually to serve people who are so grateful because I really don't get that where I work at. And it's just as good. So if they can go through all that and have a heart of servanthood, they can work 16-hour days and come home that night and still be there for other ones, then we can do a little bit more than what we are. So that was Mexico, the end.
Hola, y'all. So I guess I'm supposed to do the benediction after that. So I'm just gonna... What I kind of just want to speak on is just the overwhelming experience the feeling that I get when it feels like when I go there, I go home. Dang it, why did I get emotional? I'm good. People are always asking me now, like, are you happy to be here? Are you happy to be home? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm sure they're kind of looking at me crazy because I'm like, yeah, I'm back. Because there's always a part of me that gets left in Mexico with those mothers and with their children and with the people who serve us. And so, goodness. Okay, I'm going to change that because I'll start crying. goodness. Okay, I'll share an experience that I had at the house the day we were dedicating this house, and we stood in front of there, and you guys saw the picture of the little boy that was squatting down. That was Ceci's youngest son, Sammy. And he's five, is it? Four or five. And it was really sweet. So everybody's gathering around. The whole town is there. And everybody's getting excited. Like, everybody's getting their house, and they're looking at his mom. Like, you're getting your house. You're getting your house. And everybody's talking to the kids, like, yay. And we're talking to the kids, like, are you ready to see your room? And then you have sweet Sammy, who really won't speak to you if he doesn't really know you well or if you don't speak Spanish. So he just kind of sits there and smiles with those big eyes that you just could fall into. And at one point, the pastor, Mark, looked at him and said, are you ready? Are you excited about your house? And he would just, like, look. He would just kind of go, see. He'd be like, are you excited about your house? And it was almost like he was confused. And then Pastor Mark said, like, where's your house? Like, trying to get him to point to the new greenhouse he gets. And, y'all, he just sat there and he looked up at him and he said, in heaven. And it just, I mean, I just couldn't believe it. And a few people were like, what? Because I go, oh, my gosh. And it just took me because nobody prodded him about that answer. But he said, where's your house? And he just, in heaven. And that just so blessed me. And that just brought me back to everything, even though we were standing there so proud about what God was able to let us do and to paint that and to go through that for a few days and to have him say, well, my house is in heaven. And that just made it all real again. And that they know, they are so grateful for this house, but to hear them speak on it, they know we're just here temporarily, and to be reminded of that, because we all know, and I know that, I know my house is in heaven, but sometimes it takes a four-year-old reminding you as clear as day. Like, I don't have to think about it, because if you ask me now, D, where's your house? I'll say, oh, it's a few miles down the road. Just head on 65, and it'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, my eternal home is in heaven. And so, sorry, I just had to share that, because I would have been bawling if I shared anything else. And those women that are so grateful to be there, and it just brought joy to my heart to see that when we were about to give Ceci her home, and the moms that were saying, you're about to get your home, there were some of these moms that don't have home, that still live in the casa in what is basically the size of a hotel room with their multiple kids. And to see these moms not being jealous or being ugly, like, she's getting her home, but they were genuinely excited for her. And that touched me as well, because I don't see that here. We don't see that a lot. And I know we're surrounded by grateful people, and I'd be just as excited if a friend of mine was getting a new home. But just to see that, like, to ask myself, could I be living in the same conditions they are, in a room the size of a hotel room, with three of my children, with nothing, to see someone getting a home and be that excited, it definitely, definitely humbled me. And it just kind of made me realize why we were there and what we're doing. And it's because it's all for the Lord. And just to see their love for the Lord, and how Jordan just kind of spoke on it, and how they can be so humble and so grateful in their conditions. And it just, you can't complain. Like, you can't find anything to complain about while you're there. And it's hard to come home and try to complain about something. I can't complain about it's too cold in my room, because in the summer they've been burning up. And so it's just one of those trips that you just go on every time, and it just kind of just centers you. And so I'm just so blessed to be there, and so sorry. I completely had something else to talk about, but I couldn't. And so it was just such a blessing to be there, and I'm so blessed that God has allowed me to go for 3 years in a row without question. I never ask myself if I'm going to Mexico. It's, when am I going? What do I have to do to get there? And I've heard people express that they really, really want to go. And so I know if you've expressed that to me, I just want you to know I'm praying for you for that. That if you truly feel called, I'm praying that the Lord will truly put that on your heart, and that you will go with no reservations, because it is one of the best feelings you will ever have. Thank you. Adios.
God is good. My mission trip to CASA has been a Bible rodeo. When we begin, if I talk about the trip, I see God provision. When we look at 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. It is only by the generosity of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we were able to make, to be a part of that team. We were that team. Everybody in that team, it's only by the generosity of our brother and sister that we were able to make it. And when I see the team, I see unity. I go straight to Acts 2 and 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This unity, it's only the work of the Holy Spirit through the team and throughout the trip. Throughout the trip, we never have any problem. It's only by God's grace. And the church, when we look at the church, I think about prayers. James 5:16, he said, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And he said, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. In Acts 12:5-1, we know the story about Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And I can tell you, as Peter, we couldn't believe all we get to the border. It was amazing. We just passed by. Nobody see us. And the CASA, when I look at the CASA, I see God's works. And I go straight to Psalms 127:1. He said, unless the Lord build the house, the labor in vain who built it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. And you can feel the Lord's protection over the house, over the children, over the woman. It's only by God's grace that that house is still standing. When I see the woman, I see God's promise. In Jeremiah 29:11, he said, for I know the thought that I think toward you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And in Romans 8:28-30, you know when God called people, what he does. You can, and even when you look at those women, you can see the difference between those who have been there for long and those who just came, who have been through the program and those who just arrived. There is a joy, a peace that can only come from the redeeming love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because for what they are being through, they couldn't find that love, that peace. They will be depressed, like we take medicine here for depression, we take medicine for everything, but they only have the Lord. And the youth, God's laborer, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Joshua 1:2 said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan. The young people in our church are ready to go. I saw them at work, and I am so glad to tell KK, Jordan, D, Micah, Mendy, and Layli, I am very proud of you. The calling, God's faithfulness, Mark 5:19-20. However, Jesus did not permit him, but say to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great thing the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him and all marvel. This trip is a confirmation of the calling God has put in my heart several years ago, and I can't wait to begin this season in my life. May all glory, honor, and praise be to God.
Hola. So I've been really teary all week since coming back. So just forgive me. So I'm going to read something that you may already know, but it just kind of goes about with the story I'm going to share that I experienced. Once upon a time, there was a wise man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach before he began his work. One day, as he was walking along the shore, he looked down the beach and saw a human figure moving like a dancer. He smiled to himself at the thought of someone who would dance to the day, and so he walked faster to catch up. As he got closer, he noticed that the figure was that of a young man, and that he was not dancing at all. The young man was reaching down to the shore, picking up small objects and throwing them into the ocean. He came closer still and called out, "Good morning. May I ask what it is you're doing?" The young man paused, looked up, and replied, "I'm throwing starfish into the ocean." "I must ask then, why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" To this, the young man replied, "The sun is up and the tide is going out, and if I don't throw them in, they will die." Upon hearing this, the wise man commented, "But young man, do you not realize there are miles and miles of beach, and there are starfish all along every mile? You can't possibly make a difference." At this, the young man bent down, picked up another starfish, and threw it into the ocean. And as it met the water, he looked at the wise man and said, "It made a difference for that one." So I'm going to talk to you about a girl I met at Las Brisas. I really didn't meet her. I just kind of had this connection. We were down to the last of the, we always take a big pot of beans and a big pot of rice milk and some tortillas, and we were at the last. And school had gotten out, so there were several more kids coming. And I was kind of walking away from the guys that were serving, and I heard RJ say, "I've got one scoop left." And I heard him say later that there was four kids standing there, and I saw him just look up, like, "How do I give this last scoop?" He said, "I would rather just put it back instead of having to choose, who do I give this scoop of food to?" And he said some girls just kind of took it. Well, I think it was that girl that passed by me. I was going to the vans to get ready to gather everybody up and leave, and this girl walked up, and she was kind of tall. She was about this tall, and her hair was very orange. Now, the kids that have like orange streaks in their hair, that's a nutritional deficiency, because they don't get any food at Las Brisas. This is the poorest of the poor. And it's noticeable that only girls have these streaks of hair, because if they only have a little food, the men are going to eat it, and they're going to give it to their sons. And this little girl's head was as orange, just orange everywhere, and I thought, I hadn't seen anybody with this much deficiency before. But it was like at this moment, we joined eyes, and everything kind of went in this weird slow motion for me. I noticed she had a full cup of rice milk, and it was the end of the feeding, and she had a full bowl, and she was taking probably her second scoop of beans into her mouth. And she and I were just focusing in on each other, and I asked her if it was good. I can't remember the words now in Spanish, but I asked her if it was good, and she didn't even respond. She just said, So I said, "Bien provecho," which is enjoy your meal. And she walked away, and I don't know why, but my heart just broke for her. But I was so thankful after hearing RJ say, this girl just took it. It was probably her. And of all the kids, she probably needed it the most. But I'm drawn to Psalm 109. "But you, O God, the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake, because your mercy is good. Deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it." We were there on the Lord's behalf, I feel, and we were able to feed that one to, just like that poem talks about, is we made a difference for the one. The song that you heard to the video I chose because of this girl, one of the verses, the second verse, is "On the other side of the world, she is just a few days old, a helpless little girl with no family of her own. She is not to blame for the journey she is on. Her life is no mistake. Won't you lead her to my cross?" So So I'm thankful for the opportunity to be there that day and plant a seed in her heart and to fill her belly with food. My favorite part about this trip, I have many, many stories, and I could talk for hours. But I loved spending time with Suzelle. She took me and her family the night before, and she fed me a wonderful meal. Gerline braided my hair. It only took 2 hours. I was thinking it was going to take longer. And we laid down in her bed to go to sleep, and we held hands, and we prayed out loud for our trip. We painted a room together, and she sang in French, and I hummed because I can't sing in French. But she calls me her sister. I don't have any sisters, but I know that I have so many sisters here. So I just loved being with Suzelle. This was my fourth trip, and every trip is a new journey. Every trip, one of these women touched me. So my plea to you all, if God is moving on you, if God is pulling you and tugging you,
put it back away. And the thing that upset me the most was they just got off the bus from school. There were kids that didn't go to school. Those kids ate two. They had two helpings. So I was a little upset. This is, I'm not an artist. This is our trip, a banner for our trip. So you guys can look at it because I got our Vans to put on here. Hopefully I'll get it straight. Because if I don't get it straight, it'll drive me crazy. But anyway, by no means was this a sad trip. I mean, you look at this house, and this house, it's tough for them to leave the casa and leave all their friends and their everyday interaction. Okay. Their everyday interaction with these ladies, and actually to have that interaction, they have to invite people over. But what are they going to invite them over for? Because the groceries that we were able to buy them because of you guys, their cupboards will never be like that again. So it's hard. So anyway, you look at that house and you go, that's just a regular little house. And it is. It's just a regular square box. There's three rooms on this side, three rooms on the other side, two rooms and a bathroom. Three rooms on that side. In the center is the living open floor plan. We got that open floor plan going with the living room, the dining room, the kitchen. Everything's all there. So, totally accurate. We drove Toyota Siennas. That's me in the back. It's white. The second one looks like it's weighed down a little bit in the back, because it is. Thomas is driving in that one. And this one is Wendy's. So anyway, just to give you a visual, we drove in, went by this, it says Sagrado Corazon de Jesus. I think it means Statue of Jesus. There's a huge Statue of Jesus on the mountain in Rosarito. Drove through the mountains, and that's how we got there. It was beautiful, and most of it, there was an ocean on one side,
And if I'm driving, I try not to watch and look for whales, but you can see whales if you're lucky. So anyway, I didn't see it, but that's what it's like. That's what it looks like. What hit me the most, this is the fifth time that I've gone there. And if you guys, you all know me, you know that I like to help people. I like to minister to them physically. I'm not all that good of an encourager, but if I do, then feel blessed. But but I would like to do better. And every time I go back there, it never gets ingrained more into me about what true ministry is. And I just want to laugh because God always seems to bring us back to something. And I didn't even know this, except I read it this morning. I go, holy smokes, this is my verse that God gave me at the beginning of the year. Because it was about, I was thinking about hospitality. And, us going over there to minister to the Mexicans, but at the same time, how much they ministered to us. It just blows my mind. Because nobody talked about the struggles. We talked about the things that touched our heart. Listen, we walked in that door and I said, we're a day behind already. There were so many things that were not done that it was like, we can't even get started doing what we're going to do. So right away, I was frustrated in that I felt that we weren't going to get the thing done. And that's what we really wanted to do. We're there to get it done, right? Well, the people that we work with, we talked about Juanita, and her husband is Fidel. I used to call him Felix, and they said his name's Fidel. And just for the record, his wife called him Felix in front of us all. So whatever this guy's name, it must be something, because those guys over there, Suzelle and Laylee and Gerline and Absara, they got three or four names too. So... But anyway, those people ministered to us so much. That woman cooks the best food, and she is at it from the morning till cleanup. When we're gone, they're cleaning up after us. And not that we don't kind of clean up ourselves, but she's got to get the kitchen ready for breakfast. Her husband, there was so many things that weren't done, and then he would ask me, in Spanish, which I didn't know what he was saying, but I saw what he was talking about. No, I don't have that. He gets in his car, he leaves. At least a half a dozen times he had to leave. He had to stop doing what he was doing to leave to go get something because we didn't have it, they didn't have it. And that would just frustrate me to no end. In fact, I was working on the front door one day and trying to fix something because they put it in wrong and they couldn't put the tile in. So they asked me to raise the door so they could put the tile in. And we had that's the only door in the whole place. So people coming in and out. It was so frustrating that I couldn't get it done. It took me like three times as long to do what I was trying to do. Not to mention, I didn't know what I was doing, so I did it three times. But, he never got upset. He always had a smile on his face. And he says, I'll get it. I'll get it. And that really ministered to me because I know that I get... If things don't go perfect, I get frustrated and snippy. And a lot of the people there got a little part of that. I would say something sarcastic. And as I was, yeah, true, I did. But this guy always seemed to do it with a smile. And it was like his grace tank was full. And it didn't matter how much we tried to suck it out of him. He had plenty more to give. Anyway... I want to read this verse because it blew my mind. It's 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. And this is what came to my mind when I thought about Fidel and Juanita and how they ministered to us when we tried to go over to be the big ministry to them. Be hospitable one to one another without grumbling, as each one receives a gift to minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And you know, God has a way of just bringing us back to these things. Obviously, he hasn't perfected me in this. He has to remind me and show me where I fall short. But that, to me, after the fifth time going there and realizing, you know, what this is all about, it's an experience. If you want to ask me in one word how to describe this trip, I would say it's exhilarating. And you feel exhilarated when you get into, say, a cold shower. And you go, and then you go, oh, that's not that bad. And, you know, and then, you know, you get that feeling. And that's the way this trip was. We walked into the door, and I go, tile's not done. Door's not up. Bathroom, there's not even a bathroom. There's a small bedroom. There's no plumbing. There's no water coming here. There's no electric going to be here. This is going to be a terrible trip. Well, this was the best trip because I got to see God's hand at work. Because we thought we were going to walsh right in there and paint this house, get all kinds of time to do extra projects all over the place. I had it all planned out. Yeah, we're going to do something at Scooter's house, which Jim took some people over and did that, headed up painting a nursery for the pastor whose wife is going to have a baby in a couple months. But, you know, there's things to do at the costume, and we want to make sure every bit of time that we're there, that we're ministering to these people. And I didn't see it happening. So I was like, down. And it's like, big attitude right away. And that's the way it is when you get into a cold shower. You get a big attitude all the way. Who, right from the beginning, who used all the hot water? What's wrong? What are they thinking? But then it becomes refreshing. And that's what happened here, because by us walking in there, we got to see that we weren't doing this. It was God. It was his provision. And he said, listen, it isn't going to work out the way you want it to work out, but we're going to get it done, and you're going to give me the glory for it. And so that's the way I see it. You know, I told the team, I think it was the first day we met, I said, man, as a leader, the leader comes out and he evaluates his team, and he goes, what do I have? And then the leader looks at the task or the opposition, and he goes, okay, this is what I got. This is what I'm up against. And, you know, you say, okay, when you're doing something like this, how many guys do I have? And you count up the number of guys, and you go, okay, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. And how many girls do I have? Okay. Yeah. They can do the cleaning. They can pray all the time while we're hammering and, you know, and – our girls hit a grand slam. It, man. Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, they primed, then they painted, then they did some detail painting. They did the decorating, which you guys, you don't get a picture of this. I mean, that there's a camo wall in this one room, and it is outstanding. There's a horse room. When you walk into it, you go, pfft, I wish I had a daughter that had a room like this. There's a purple room with like glass stars decorated on the wall, or plastic stars that look like glass, and with her name as it was unbelievable. The girls on this team almost single-handedly made it look like that. And when you get inside, that's just regular stuff. And you can't see, but this woman's got, here's one right here. She's got fruit trees planted. There's a couple over here. They're already so excited to get in here. They're taking care of this place. The other houses over here that we worked on, the trees are almost as high as the bottom of the eave. And they're starting to shape up like a real house. It was exhilarating, this trip. There were a lot of ups and downs, and God brought us through every single one. There was another up and a down that we had, and it was travel. So, first of all, this is what it, next time Wendy's going to be driving with that on her head. It's a little racing helmet. I just want to explain to you that there's just, it's nothing like getting your blood pumping. nothing like getting your blood pumping while you're driving to Mexico on a little road that's a decent road, but it's windy. There's water sometimes on one side, a hill on the other side, cars coming the other way. And, you know, well, if you look at what we got, I got a little pointer here. This guy is saying there's a double yellow line. And as you can see, we're in the mountains, and we got a big curve. And it's going around the mountain. And you got this person driving. Who was this?
Wendy.
Bingo. Wendy. So this person, she says, I'm going. And so I saw that she was going. What happens is these trucks can't get through the mountains very quickly. And so they slow down really slow. It's annoying. But the conditions do not say pass, not to Americans. So she says, I'm going. I can see the way she's driving. I should have made this real close. In fact, you know, whatever. She's going. So here I am. I get over in this lane just to see what she's going. And I see this. And I said, certainly she's not going to do that. But she did. And so Thomas, I was reading his mind. He said, no way, no way. She went. I just said, Lord, help us. And the thing is, the reason why we were like this is she had a radio, I had a radio, so we could keep communication. Thomas could stay in between us, and we lost communication. I heard, the last thing I heard is, are you guys around him yet, or are you behind us? No, no, do you hear me? No, you know, she's gone. So eventually, I didn't pass there. I'm not joking you. When I went like this, what I saw was the semi-tractor trailer and the road did this. And I go, there's no way she can make it. Now, there's the Mexicans, they allow you to do this. That's the way they drive there. Sometimes if there's a little breakdown lane, these guys will pull over this way. And they'll flash you so you can go around it. And I saw the guy flashing his lights to go around. Now, what does that mean here? That means get off my rear. What are you doing, you idiot? I'm getting ready to put the brake on full time. But in Mexico, supposedly, it wasn't translated to me, but it means it's clear you can go around. Well, she went around, and eventually we all cut up to each other. And I said to her, what in the world were you thinking back there? And she goes, he told me to go. And I said, he told you to go? Yeah, he flashes. Do you think maybe that he was saying, get off of my rear, or go ahead, you idiot, take your chances on this corner? It was exhilarating, to say the least. There was a lot of that. When I passed, was it a double? Notice the line is double solid. That's a good indication, not a good idea, even to the Mexicans to be passing. But anyway, when I made my pass, I think I did it on a solid line too, but at least I got out where I could see the road and there was no hill. Like, you don't want to pass on a little tiny hill, because next thing you know, somebody comes up over the top and you can't get over. And that's a given too. These guys will slow down if they see you're going to go head on with somebody. Exhilarating. The famous words were from Jim. When I did finally pass, there was a car coming, and it wasn't super close, but it was closer than we care. He said, I wouldn't have done that. So the trip was by far my best, because God worked all the way through it, even here. Now, he doesn't want us to be stupid and do dumb things and not prepare, but he's always with us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And there were obstacles here. It was hot. Me and Jordan really didn't know it was hot because we had air conditioning in our room. Yeah. The guy that leads it always, David, he always takes that room. And somehow I always get stuck with it, which I've never used. I didn't even know the air conditioner worked because I don't even, that's the smaller bed on that side, so I don't go over there. But, yeah, it worked, and it was nice. But the conditions were kind of tough. You know, when Jordan said go like this and you don't see anything, you can go up to one of those little kids and do it right here, and you can get something. I mean, the conditions there are terrible. But they are so willing to have us come there. Today, they're having people come in to put water systems in. This is a sewer. I don't think they're going to work on that. There's a sewer that needs to be worked on here. This is a water line. We put some barrels here where she can get her water, but they're going to run water to it and put a system. Hopefully that gets done. It's whatever we can do to help these people out, and that's our ministry to them. They love when we come there because we spend time on them. We pour into them. We do minister to them, but don't think that we're going over there taking it on the chin in the worst conditions. We get so much more out of this than being a part of the finish that house. I mean, we're the last part. There's people digging ditches, putting up walls, putting the roof on. We get to paint it, do the finishing touches, and turn it over to them. That's the best part, in my opinion. Praying over the house and dedicating the house is definitely the best part. But it's a blessed time. We're already thinking about next year. We're already praying about what God might have for us in Haiti with a ministry that God has put on Suzelle's heart. And she's already gone there in this year and done some stuff herself. If we could just partner with her in those things and be a part of that. This is a great time. Oh, sure, I'm glad to be home because I'm spoiled. But going there for a week, it doesn't matter. I mean, it was pretty hard this time. The first 3 days, we didn't do anything in the evening. I think we were in bed about 8:30, 8:45 every night because we were basically wore out because of the amount of work. But it got better, and praise God because he was the one who did it all. You know, so. We stay at, it's like a Days Inn sort of thing, but it's owned by a woman named Valentina, and that's a whole different, I mean, I could sit here and talk. I asked her son, who's older, he's younger than me, but I asked if I could pray with him the last night that I was there, and so I was praying for him and his family, and he's building a house, and he's kind of out of finances, but they got a business. They're all business people. So it'll come in. They don't do it like us. When they say they don't have their money, that doesn't mean I don't have credit. That means I don't have any money. And so they don't build. They stop. And so he's building a beautiful house, and he's got to stop. And so I was praying for him, and I could feel his mom, she's about this tall, kind of muscle in there and put her arm on me and get in that prayer. It was almost like you had 10 people in the football huddle, and somebody, they send the one guy in there, and he goes, let me get in this huddle. That's what it felt like. But, you know, just to get to pray with her. She owns the hotel, and it's different color tile, maybe some weird paint here or there, paint chipping, TVs are so-so. They, you know, Spanish channels. Sometimes you have water. Sometimes you'll lather up, and the water will just turn off. And it's like, you know, it's like the time I did it, I had soap in my eyes, so I couldn't even go scream, hey, what's wrong with the water? So, but it comes back on. Sometimes it's not hot water, you know, it depends. But it's the best place to stay in that whole entire city. And it's clean, and the linens are clean, and the beds are comfortable, and the everything smells good. The pillows are soft, and you can sleep there. And the bathrooms work. You don't have to go outside to a hut, you know, which the hardware store there has about, I don't know, 20, 30 outhouse. What are those big, giant dollhouse things? Those are outhouses. And some people there, they have that stuff. We stay at a really nice place. It's Valentina. She's got a restaurant downstairs. And we're safe. there. When we go there, we kind of rent the whole thing. We get the whole nine or ten rooms, and so nobody else belongs in there but us. So it's Valentina's. And I'd be interested to know, there's a salsa in Walmart called Valentina's, and it'd be interesting to know if she's not part of that. I don't know. It's from Mexico, but anyway, thank you very much. Jim's going to come up for a minute, so be patient.
Yeah, sorry for keeping you late, but thanks. Everybody's talking about what a great trip this was. It wasn't. First off, we tried to get killed. We only got to go to the taco shop twice. Painting Scooter's room, the girls bailed out on me after lunch, so I had to go clean the floor myself. Anyways, this is what I wanted to talk to you guys about. This is Vidiana. And this little guy here is Louis Angel. She came to the casa at 12 years old. He was about 7-8 months old. This is her son. When she came to the casa at 12, she came from La Paz. The DIF there in Mexico is kind of like the social services and stuff center to the casa. Her mom had several boyfriends, and she was a product of one of the boyfriends. At 9 years old, her mother was killed by one of the boyfriends. So she left to go live with her sister and her sister's boyfriend. She went to go live there. The boyfriend of the sister was abusing her, started abusing her at 9 years old, and at 10 years old, she got pregnant. And that's when she ended up coming to the casa after that. They found her in a wash where she was living under a tarp and stuff with her baby, and they brought her to the casa. She's about 18 right now. She's getting ready to graduate high school. She came to the casa with no education. So she's getting ready to graduate high school. She's a straight-A student, and her goal is to go on to the Calvary Chapel Bible College and then on to university. Lewis is in second grade. Pastor Scooter says that she is a leader in the youth there. She is just on fire for the Lord. She is just in love with Jesus. So now we come up to obedience. It was by obedience, one woman said, "Yes, Lord, I will sell everything I have and move to Mexico. Yes, Lord, I see your vision. I will be obedient and do what you have called me to do." By her obedience, by going out there, I'm talking about Lisa, meeting up with people, doing the casa, building it to what it is, by the obedience of other people seeing her vision that God has given her, and by us as a church and other churches catching a hold of the vision and being obedient to what God has called us to do, I can hardly wait to hand her the keys to her house. And that's going to be an awesome day. So, anyways, I'm cutting it short because I don't want to keep you guys late. But, anyways, keep praying for her. They call her Vidi. She's an awesome girl. She just loves the Lord. She loves her child. So, see y'all in Mexico next year.
Certainly much to do there, much to do here. And you might ask, you know, why do we take a whole service to do something like that? I just think it's so important for the many in this church that have supported this trip to really see, and I'm telling you, you are seeing less than 1% of this entire trip. Like Wendy said, there's thousands of other stories. And so I encourage you to meet some of these missionaries and talk with them and catch of it. Does it mean you go to Mexico? Maybe. Or maybe it makes you be a better neighbor. Something along those lines. Be praying for two of the young girls on this trip. They are praying about going back for a month in February to serve at the CASA. And it's still early on those decisions, so I don't want to bring up any names or anything, but I want you guys just be praying for the Lord to really use the trip and minister what he wants to do afterwards. So we're going to close in prayer, and then we're going to take all these chairs out. We're going to set up some tables. We're going to have a lunch together. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for putting it upon hearts of men and women to leave the comforts of their home, to travel across this country, to serve in less than ideal conditions for us, but to do it with joy. God, it is such a privilege to serve you. It is such a privilege to do the work that you've called us to do. And I thank you for the successful ministries that we've had down in Mexico. We're excited about Haiti, but also, Lord, you've called us to Brentwood and these surrounding areas. So move in the hearts of your people to serve this community, to serve this world for you. Bless us this afternoon and the rest of this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.